2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
KSL's top story,
Utah's coronavirus spike. In-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
As we've been reporting today, Utah now has 290 coronavirus patients in the hospital. 96 of them are in ICU. And joining me live on the KSL Newsline is the president of the Utah Hospital Association, Greg Bell. Thanks a lot for coming on the air. In a state of 3 million people, 296 hospital patients does not sound like a lot. It certainly is a lot more than a month ago, but are the hospitals really strained to capacity?
We have about 460 ICU beds in our referral center hospitals, and those run pretty full most of the time. Apart from COVID, we'll have 60-70%. University of Utah tends to be higher. They'll run around 80% full, and that's apart from COVID, Jeff. So if you throw in another 100 patients for COVID, then that really pushes our max.
A lot of people, and you've heard this, say big deal, and they cast doubt on the severity of the problem, asking how many beds are taken up by people who don't have COVID. So let me bother you to go over these few simple statistics again. How many hospital beds do we have in Utah? Do you have that number available?
Not specifically, but we have thousands.
Okay. What percentage are usually filled with no pandemic? I mean, how full do hospitals run?
Between 55 and 60%.
And that's without COVID. So how many ICU beds did you say there are in Utah?
About 460.
Okay. And we have 96 COVID patients in the ICU. So what percent of ICU capacity are we at? I'm trying to get to the arguments people make about there not really being any danger here.
Well, people have heart attacks, strokes, kidney failure, car accidents, and require extreme care in the intensive care unit. And that has been going on for years and years and years. When you place upon that another cause of hospitalization and intense care, then that can really push your limits. And so you add another 100 people on top of the 250 or 300 we generally have, and now you're over, 80 to 85% of our ICU capacity. And a bed is not a bed is not a bed, right? Some facilities like the University of Utah, because of its referral pattern from the Intermountain West, they tend to be the canary in the coal mine, and they've been running almost at capacity. Another thing, Jeff, that people don't understand is beds don't treat patients. Doctors and nurses treat patients, and we have 20 to 30% of our nurses in some facilities who are struggling with COVID themselves or in their families, or they're under quarantine, or they've been doing this for 7-8 months, or they don't have childcare arrangements. So we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of professionals who are not available to us. So we have the perfect storm. Number one, we have fewer professionals than we did 7 months ago. And number two, we have more cases to care for.
You know, over the years, really, you hear people talk about hospital visits and they complain that they were barely seen by personnel. You hear this time and again, and that's without COVID. And so now you add these challenges with personnel. And when you hear naysayers scoff that, well, you can just shuffle things around, reformulate the rooms, transfer patients,
Let me ask, can you?
We've done that as much as we possibly can. We can run additional oxygen, gas, all kinds of sophisticated stuff, you know. We even have the Expo Center. We also have an overflow skilled nursing facility the state has set up for us. But the problem is we don't want to water the gravy with the very difficult crewing we have right now. Our teams are just not up to the numbers we need them to be. So, you know, people can flirt with this all they want and say it's a hoax. But the problem is today, Utah is on the balance. It's on the knife's edge.
We're talking with the head of the Utah Hospital Association, Greg Bell. Greg, what happens when we're past capacity?
Well, you know, we were scared we'd reach that in July, and somehow we turned it around, and I hope we can do the same. But if we don't, then we're going to continue to bring other professionals in, whether that be out of state or trying to enlist retired and volunteer people, whatever, so that we can give the same level of care. But at some point, obviously, you have to water the gravy a little bit, and you have professionals looking after more patients. You have fewer patients in the ICU. And ultimately, Jeff, we have to invoke the crisis standards of care, which is a specialized term, meaning this is how we ration care when you reach a point where there's just nothing left but to treat this person but not that person.
When you ration care, people suffer. It's the way it works. So do you have trained staff to deal with patients when you have to open, or if you have to open, Mountain America Expo Center, or are patients merely going to be warehoused there?
No, we don't have the staff to put the personnel over there. We just don't. So we're expanding within our hospitals so that we have doctors and nurses already there on site. You know, if really a disaster happens, then, you know, we've got to enlist others to maybe open that facility. But that is a last resort. And I will just say, you know, people can think this is made up, but you can't have 1,500 new cases 3 days in a row and the kind of hospitalizations we're seeing and the spread of 13 and 14% and not have a blooming infection throughout the state of Utah. It is just absolutely prospering among us, and we got to react.
I'm not trying to sensationalize. I'm just looking for an honest answer. Do you envision any scenario where Utah has patients in the hallways of hospitals, as we saw in Houston, as we saw in New York City?
We've got quite a ways to go. Mountain Star and Steward hospitals have not been as hard hit just because of insurance arrangements, et cetera. And so they have capacity. They each have about 75 ICU beds. We have some overflow at both the Intermountain system and the University system. So we've got some elasticity. So if we can hold here and turn it around, you know, decrease, we're going to be okay. But I don't have a crystal ball, but if we continue to have 1,500 a day, then yes, there will be people who have rationed care.
Well, let's remain optimistic and I guess do what we must. If I asked, you would say things about washing hands and wearing masks, right?
Right. It's so simple. It's just so simple to wear a mask and stay away from people. Don't infect them. Don't let them infect you. Right now, I mean, we've got to realize, you know, the governor once said if we get below 500, well, we're three times that now. And it's gone on now for a month. It's not just a passing fancy. This thing is here with us for a while until we get serious.
You're hearing this from a man who's at the center of all of this, the president of the Utah Hospital Association. Greg Bell, once again, thank you for joining us on KSL News Radio.
Thank you, Jeff.
KSL News Time, 4:38. Let's go right to traffic because...
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.